Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Brad Huskin is our guest. He is one of the world's experts on salesmanship. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. He's our good friend. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It's good to have you back on the show, and I can see how it would be a pleasure for you to be here.
Well, absolutely. I always love talking to my friend Jim Blasingame.
Of course. I mean, why, how could it not be a dream come true, right?
Exactly.
That's what you were going to say, right?
Exactly. It's a dream come true. Hey, my wildest dreams. This is where I want to be this morning.
Hey, Brad, let's talk about selling. I know that's something that you like to do, and I sure do, too, because I believe that nothing happens until somebody makes a sale. But the truth is that no sale happens until somebody closes somebody.
Well, that's exactly right, and you're right. Sales is the world's greatest profession, and I've been shocked even more so lately in recent weeks on how infrequently people are actually asking for money. And it's almost scary out there how little people are trying to close the sale.
Is it because we become more timid? Is it because salesmanship is becoming a dying art? Is it because we're not training people? What's the problem?
Well, I think it's a multitude of several different things. One reason may be that they don't feel that they've earned the right to close the sale. Another reason may be that they're afraid of rejection and nobody likes to be rejected. But
those are things, those have always, I mean, those are things that have been around since Og the Neanderthal. Brad, I mean, those aren't new things. I mean, I had that when I was, and I still sell, you know. I mean, I still have those kinds of emotions. And that's just when I don't do a good job. But there's got to be, to me, there's got to be something going on today that's, I wonder if professional selling, the way you and I were trained, isn't sort of becoming a dying art.
Well, I think it is becoming a dying art. And I think that people are less and less recognizing a buying sign or a buying signal when a customer says they're ready to buy. They just don't recognize that, and they just keep talking. They think that sales is a gift of gab, when in reality it's a gift of ability to listen.
Do you think companies just aren't spending as much time training their people on salesmanship as they used to?
Well, and it's a sad state of affairs, but usually when the economy gets a little bit tough and people are cutting back on budgets, first thing that gets cut back on is the training of the sales staff, where they think they need to throw more money at advertising and more money at merchandising, when in reality, salespeople are the ones that are going to create the sales and create the profits and create the cash flow to be able to do all those other things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, just as an example, my wife was out looking at a treadmill the other day, and she says, "Oh, my gosh, that's terrific. That's exactly what I want." I says, "Well, why don't I call you tomorrow and see if we can't negotiate a better price on it?" And she didn't even bring up the price. She didn't care.
Hmm.
You know, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do about that? How do we fix this?
Well, I think that, number one, we ought to identify what a buying sign is to enable your listeners to train their sales staffs on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe talk about a few closing techniques.
All right, let's do that.
Okay. Well, number one, the definition of a buying sign to me is any question that is asked or statement that is made after both trust and value have been established. In other words, recent example, ladies in a art gallery where I'm shopping, and she says to the salesperson, "Gosh, my friend would just love to have that sculpture." And the guy says, "It is a beautiful piece, isn't it?" And she says, "Well, yes, it is." And he says, "Well, who's the friend?" And so they start chit-chatting, and they're chit-chatting for 10 minutes. And he says, "Well, why don't you give her a call?" So the lady calls the lady that she was going to buy the sculpture for, and of course, what does the lady say? Oh, don't get me anything for my birthday.
Right.
And thus resulted in a lost sale, where when the lady said, my friend would love to have that as a birthday gift, say, let me gift wrap it.
That's right.
And just close the deal at
that
point.
You want that in a box or a bag?
Exactly.
Will the car that you came in be big enough to carry it? Or
exactly. Would you like me to deliver it?
How do you think she'd feel about having two of these?
Well, she's going to have matching sculptures, of course.
What is it? Are we just dinosaurs, Brad? That you know, we just things like that. I mean. That automatically just sends up a red flag for me. My antenna runs straight up, and I automatically leap to a close. When we come back, folks, hang on, Brad. When we come back, folks, I want to establish what a close is, because I think that may be what part of the confusion is. What is closing? 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me and our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Brad, give us your website, please.
It's www.iastraining.com.
Iastraining.com, and you can find lots of good stuff there. You got a lot of articles posted there, haven't you? People can read about sales training and selling and how to close more sales.
Oh, we get tons of articles. As a matter of fact, I do a free newsletter every week called Sales Insight that they're more than welcome to subscribe to, and they can use the website or my 800 number, which is 800-248-7703.
And also, folks, Brad goes around the country and halfway around the world training people how to do what we're talking about. So if you need somebody to help you with that, Brad can do that for you. So check him out there on his website or give him a call on the phone there. Brad, before we go any further, let's talk about what a close is. So many people get the misconception that a close is what you do. It's the hard thing that you do at the end of a transaction when you put the arm on a customer and you say, okay, are you ready to buy this from me or whatever? And the truth is, the best closes are the opposite of that. The best closes start within maybe seconds of meeting the customer or the prospect, and could possibly a different close could happen every 30 seconds over a 30-minute conversation.
Well, and you're exactly right. It's called the ABC of sales: always be closing.
Yeah,
and
it's how you earn that trust and what did you say earlier?
Value.
The trust and value. It's how you earn that trust and establish that value, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a process that happened all throughout the sale. And ultimately, the goal is to get the customer to say, I'll take it. There are certain techniques that you can use that I call mini closes all along the way that get customers agreeing. And that's especially true if we're selling based on the reasons the customers want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts early in the presentation by asking the right questions. And it still amazes me how many people don't know the single most important question in sales. Is what's important in selecting whatever it is you're selling,
mm-hmm.
and let the customer tell you, or if they don't have the knowledge to tell you, then they're looking for your knowledge and expertise, and you need to give them the justification behind buying your product,
mm-hmm.
and then just ask them a simple little agreement question. What do you think? Isn't that nice? They start the process of getting yeses
early
in the presentation.
You know, think about it, folks, just like it's a conversation. With people, I mean, if you and I, Brad, are talking about something and I'm trying to, let's say I'm trying to convince you to vote for a candidate, I'm not just going to say, hey, I want you to vote for my guy. I'm going to start out by telling you the reasons why, asking you what's important to you in a candidate, and I'm going to have little bitty successes as we go along and try to convince you ultimately. Because I know that's the only way I can get you to vote for my candidate is if I make little bitty successes on the way to saying to you, will you vote for this person? And it's the same thing with a sale, isn't it? I mean, you make little bitty probes. You watch for these buying signals. If you get one, you reinforce those, and you try to close. But so many people, I think, don't ask for the business, as you say. because they misunderstand what a close is.
Well, just for the example, with the situation you just mentioned, if you're talking to me about your political candidate and you say, you know, one of the things that my political candidate stands behind is increasing the school budget for a better education for our children.
Mm-hmm.
We all want a better education for our kids, don't we?
Don't we? That's a close.
That's the close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so soft and subtle that and many times the customer doesn't even hear themselves being closed.
Right.
And we're doing it based on the reasons why they want to support this political candidate or they want to buy this particular product.
And if I say, no, I'm not interested in that because I don't have any children, I've never had any children, I don't like people who have children, then you know to go away from that issue, don't you?
Exactly. Then maybe you ought to get on another subject.
I don't have children or like people who do. You know, you want to move on.
Exactly. Well, understanding it's going to be a very short existence of the planet without
that's
them.
But that's right.
And as big a page as they are, they're still got to be around.
Well, yeah. What I used to say that I had, when I had teenagers, I have teenagers, but I love them anyway.
I'm to the point where I really believe that grandchildren are your reward for not killing your own children.
No, that's exactly right. I agree with you 100%. Let's talk about some closing techniques. You got some good ones. Give them to us.
Yeah, well, one of them is the reflexive close, and that's when a customer asks you a question and you reflect it back as a close. For example, a customer says, do you offer financing? And where many salespeople make a mistake is they just answer the question without asking for the commitment. They say, yes, we have two different finance options. Leave it hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, we have a couple different finance options, is that how you want to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between, you know, a hanging curveball and actually closing the deal. So
exactly. You're selling a car, and they say, what kind of financing do you offer? I mean, folks, let me tell you something. That is a scream-in-your-face buying signal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And if you don't pick up on that and say, yes, we do. You know, is that as you say? Is that how you plan on buying your car? How you plan on paying for your car? And when they say yes, then where do we go, Brad?
We just pull out the order form. And we start writing.
Start filling it out.
Exactly. Start filling out the finance agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And another one would be this is the straightforward ask for it clause.
Well, you know, Brad, if you wanted to be a little more subtle about it, you could say, well, how many months do you think you would be financing it for? Oh, 60
sure.
months. Well, what kind of a payment are you going to want? You know, these are all little bitty closing steps that you take. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're having more fun than the law allows with our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Stay back. Stand by. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Brad Huskin, an original member of our Brain Trust, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. And your new book is coming out real soon, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah, it should be going to print in the next 10 days or so, and it's called Munchies for Salespeople.
Munchies for Salespeople. I love that title. And so can they pre-order it on your website?
It's going up on the website over the weekend, I believe, as a
okay,
matter of fact.
Deal.
So yes,
so
they can, or they can certainly check next week.
IAStraining.com. Don't forget to subscribe to his free newsletter too, by the way. Brad, let's talk about
sales insight.
Let's talk about some more of those closing techniques. One of the things that I've always thought about is that somebody asked me once how many closes I knew, and there are about a dozen or so classic closes, folks. But somebody asked me how many I had, and I hadn't thought about it before. And when I did think about it, I said I don't know. And he said, that's the right answer. And the reason is because if you're a good closer, you don't know how many you have. You have as many as you need because you understand the concept of closing. But it does
you have as many as you need, and you're reacting to what the customer's saying. And every close is different. Every customer is different.
But it is a good idea, I think, Brad, to start out with the some of the fundamental ones to kind of help you get established, don't you?
Yeah, you can have the basic few closes down pat and in your memory and in your arsenal, so to speak. And I really preach about 7 or 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the very effective closes is the order form close.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you just pull out an order form, and it could be at the beginning, it could be at the end, and you just start filling it out. If you do it at the beginning, you're just starting to capture the customer's name, address, and telephone number. It's just a total assumption that they're going to buy something.
And the way I was taught that one is that you never look up when you're filling it out.
Well, better yet,
if you ever look up, you're it's over.
Right. Better yet, if you can get them to fill it out.
Exactly.
Why don't you just fill in your name, address, and telephone number here, and then we'll fill in the details later.
Yeah, I've got a sore thumb. Would you fill this out for me? another one I like is the sharp angle close, where somebody says, do you have this in red? And then you say, well, if I do you want it?
Exactly.
Now, that's a little bit pointed. I like that. But, you know, another one that I love, and I think this is one of the best closes out there, is the similar situation close.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where when somebody says, makes a comment, some customer makes a response to you, and you say, you know, I have a customer who had that same problem, and here's what they did to fix that. Here's how I worked with them to solve that problem. And folks, you're not going to tell a lie if you don't have an exact customer like that. You can aggregate some customers. You can create a composite story. And what this does is this builds trust. This lets them know that you've been around a while, that you're a problem solver. And if they think they've got a problem, you can fix it.
Right. Well, one of the ones that I love is the reduce to the ridiculous clause.
Okay. What's that?
And that's the one the car dealerships use, where they reduce the perceived price down to nothing.
Yeah.
And I've been teasing jewelers here lately. You know, that, I understand the engagement ring is $10,000, but gosh, when you think about it, you're going to be married for 60, 70 years. So what we're really talking about is, I don't know, $250, $300 a year. And certainly your wife is worth 28 cents a day, isn't she? Which was just an exaggerated example, but you get the point. I just love to poke a little fun there. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's when she turns to him and says, am I worth 28 cents a day or not?
And he turns to the sales guy and says, can I pay for it that way, too?
That's when the salesperson says, sir, how many months do you want this finance for?
Exactly.
All right, what's another?
Another old classic is the penalty close.
Yeah.
And that's attaching a penalty to them not buying today.
Okay. Is this hurt?
Saying that, you know, this price is good until Saturday night, or this is the last one we have in stock, or this is a one-of-a-kind offer that we're
if it is you don't want to be dishonest if it fits that purpose.
Well, that was the side note. It's got to be absolutely true if you're going to use it, because if it's not true and you're going to get busted, and then you lose all your ethics and integrity.
Right. But the main thing though, folks, is there are closes out there. There are. I've seen a lot of them, Brad. I'm sure you've got a lot of articles on your site about closing, and in your books. And folks, find the people who know about closes, learn how to close, and one day you too will be able to say, I don't know how many closes I have. Brad Huskin, thank you for being here. Good job today. And
my pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time, and have a good weekend.
Okay, take care.
Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, that's IAStraining.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.